Macmillan Audio presents You Know Her by Megan Jeanette. Read for you by Sophie Amos and Eggsy Sands. After. Before the end. It is almost October. If the bees around me are aware of this, they make no mention of it. Instead, they bob and weave in the hazy air, drunk with the heat of a summer that has stretched on weeks too long. From flower to flower they float, scooping sticky clumps of pollen onto black legs. A few have discovered my picnic basket and busied themselves with raiding the half-open jar of blackberry jam, long tongues probing the curve of its rounded lip. One bee crawls down inside the glass, dangerously close to the gelatinous quicksand. Another collides with a nearby flower, spins and rolls in the center of its waving head. There is something so urgent about her action, so unlike the laid-back bumbler we believe these creatures to be. And yet the flowers live for this. The violence of the bees. Sunlight blooms through the gnarled arms of an apple tree above me. I've curled myself into her roots, and in minutes I'm half asleep, lost in the droning symphony of wing beats, the drowsy kiss of late morning sun on my skin. Something pokes at me, though. Beneath the sweet stench of apple rot lies something richer, a smell I could dip a finger into, just a hint now, but building, thickening. A new sound has joined the hum of the bees. Its buzzing is more insistent, a higher whine than the baritone of apiary wings, a flute to foil the chorus of cellos. In another minute, something lands, light and delicate on my lips. The flute pauses. The smallest of feet tiptoe one after another across my mouth. I purse my lips, send this traveler into the air on a puff of my breath. The flute resumes. She is above my eyes now, and if I cross them just right, I can see her. A blowfly. I'd been wondering how long it would take for them to show up this time. I watch her float, land, creep across the gently bluing body lying next to me. December. Sophie. My story begins as it so often has. I was ignoring a man at a bar. Ignoring him, truthfully, because in all the months he'd been coming to sit 2 feet across a hammered copper counter from me, he had never bothered to learn my name. Somewhere in revenge, I'd forgotten his, plucked it out of my pocket, and dropped it to the floor, to be swept away with the food scraps at the end of the night. He became simply Bud Light, an epithet gifted in honor of the only words he ever deigned to toss in my direction. He was brothers with Whiskey Ginger, beer is the only thing that can have too much head, and give me a smile, girl. When I was still young and dewy, I thought these sorts of men were nothing more than a residue, akin to mold slime under the sink and confined to the seedy late-night dives of my early cocktailing days. Odious, but easily scrubbed away with the right sort of acidity. Soon enough, I learned they exist in every bar, from sticky-floored college dens to sleek date-night spots. They are as much a part of the decor as the fruit flies. Once, I thought they were harmless and laughed at them. They climbed up out of the mold then, as maggots do, and flew into my mouth. A thousand licking tongues laid their voices like eggs in the soft places of me, hatching with every slippery compliment drifting down my thigh, every brazen joke.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?